I really appreciate about this church is our attention to the words that we use. So for example, a few weeks ago we were looking at Psalm 127 together, and I really valued the way that Sam, who was playing this morning, had thought about how a passage that essentially talks about children might sound to a person who's single, and had just taken the time and the care to think that through and include that in his talk that morning. There have been so many other little moments like that as well along the way that I could point to. As John said this morning, over the last month or so, we've been in this series called Summer Eucharist, with Eucharist just meaning this table of thanksgiving. I'm really glad to be sharing with you as part of that this morning, because the table is one of my favourite things in the world. It's a running joke among my friends that I'm always thinking at least two meals ahead, and that I've been known to attempt really silly stuff in an attempt to produce tasty food, which you'll hopefully see on the screen shortly. For example, some friends of mine came to dinner and I found myself in the kitchen with a hairdryer attempting to make the perfect pork crackling. And just in case you're wondering, it didn't work. It was no better than just putting it in the oven. Today we're looking at Psalm 133 together, so let's read it. That should be on the screens for you as well. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I don't know how you feel about this psalm, but for me, it's one of those ones where I've read it at some point in my life, but I've never really lingered over it or gone back to it. It's just kind of got glossed over. But these last few weeks, as I've been mulling it over in preparation for this, I've found a new depth of richness in it that I've never seen before. The psalm opens with this line, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." So we're left in no doubt that this is a song about unity and about the blessing, which could more simply be called the goodness that comes from it. We could say it's about how human beings were designed to flourish, which is no small claim, I know. But obviously, we've all got that sorted. Unity isn't something we'd have a problem with today, right? Reading these lines, I can't help but look at my own life or at the lives of the nations around us and wonder, is this just a pipe dream? It sounds too good to be true. We live in a divided world, don't we? I've just come back from visiting my family in Northern Ireland, and I'm reminded of how well we know how to push each other's buttons. All it takes is to go that little bit too far in one direction, and what started out as gentle teasing has descended into an all-out war of the words. On a grander scale, even a cursory look at any of the armed conflicts around the world will show us how quickly we fail to dwell in unity. Division destroys us. It causes us to build walls between ourselves, both metaphorical and in some cases literal. But the psalmist paints this picture of perfect unity. I wonder, was this a reality for the psalmist, or was it just a dream? Was he telling us how life already was, or was he giving us a vision of how it could be? Perhaps one thing to make clear at this point is what unity is not. Unity is not uniformity. Uniformity implies that everything and everybody is the same or homogenous, but unity is about combining separate, unique, individual things into one whole harmonious element. So when we live in unity, we do so as individuals who choose to work together for the sake of the common good. And even beyond that, unity isn't just better for the group as a whole, but it's better for us individually as well. We're made for community. We're designed to flourish when we offer each other freedom and space to be ourselves. The rest of the psalm goes on to talk about the impact this kind of unity has on the world. Where division destroys us, unity brings blessing, it brings goodness. Listen to these next few verses. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountain of Zion. So this is where a little biblical history helped me out, and it might help you out as well. Oil was used in a number of ways, including as a mark of respect from a host to their guest, kind of like hanging up a guest's coat today would be respectful. but its primary use was to inaugurate a priest into official service. So when we read about the oil on Aaron's head, it's supposed to make us think of this priestly anointing. But this isn't just any anointing. This is one that flows down his beard and over his collar. This is an extravagant, generous, abundant blessing, because our God is not a stingy God. The psalmist then compares this generous blessing to the dew of Hermon. But what is that? Mount Hermon, which you might just be able to see that little red triangle at the top there. Mount Hermon is a cluster of mountains over 9,000 feet high that straddles the border between Syria and Lebanon. At three times the size of Monroe, its height and its location make it one of the most important geographic resources in the region, because it captures the precipitation in an area that's otherwise incredibly dry. Understanding that physical significance of Mount Hermon opened up the psalm for me in a whole new way. When the mountain captures the rainfall, or when the snow melts, it flows down over the ridges and nourishes the land around it. This water, the dew of Hermon, brings life with it, and it flows down the mountain indiscriminately. At the start of the year, I watched a BBC documentary about Yellowstone National Park, which is what these pictures are of. They're a little pixelated, but they come out okay. And I remember being amazed at how great a difference there was between winter and summer in the landscape, which is essentially between the snow and the river flowing. I wonder, is that a similar picture to what Mount Hermon looked like? When we live together in unity, it brings this abundant blessing or goodness that overflows and gives life to all around. That is the heartbeat of this psalm. But that brings us back to the question we started with. Is this way of life a possibility? Or is it a utopian dream? What if the answer is yes? What if it's both? I think the psalmist was giving us a vision to work towards, a glimpse of life as it will be when all things are made new. But I also think that he was showing us that it's possible to start now, that unity is built through small, seemingly insignificant choices. I believe it's a real possibility, and I believe it starts here at the table. This table, the Eucharist table, is where we join together in unity and thanksgiving, and it stands as a symbol of our unity. This is where God tore down the walls of hostility and removed the divisions through the cross. We don't have time to dive into that in detail today, but you can read more about it in Ephesians 2 and elsewhere in the New Testament. The only reason we can even come to this table is because Jesus made it possible. The table itself is a blessing to us. But it doesn't stop at this table. Theologian Ronald Rollheiser said, "The God of the Incarnation is as much about kitchen tables as ecclesial altars." The dream this psalm presents us with is built one table at a time. It's built over cocoa pops and bananas in the morning when you choose to make time to sit with our families instead of rushing out the door to work. It's built over red wine and takeaway with the neighbours when we choose to invite them into our lives regardless of the mess. It's built over sandwiches with the colleague at work who looks lonely or rubs you the wrong way. Every time we come to the table, we're choosing unity over division. Unity is built or destroyed in the small, everyday moments, every bit as much as through grand gestures. And the choice isn't always an easy one, but it is one that leads us into life evermore, which is the blessing commanded by the Lord at the end of the psalm. As we move towards communion, we're going to sing together again.